All right, my friends, today we are going to learn about being like Hashem. But before we learn about being like Hashem, we're going to talk about how you shouldn't be. The Torah tells us, it's found in the 13th chapter, beginning verse 2, which is actually in the original, is a new parsha, what's called the new parsha. What you call a parsha is called a sedra. And the parsha is where you have psucha and stuma, the way it's divided up in the Sefer Torah. So here begins a new section, a new paragraph. Ki yokum bekirbecha novi, when there will arise amongst you a prophet, a cholim, or a dreamer. Cholim chalim, and this dreamer, v'nasen elecha esom efes, he's going to give you some kind of sign. What kind of novi are we talking about? So Or HaChaim tells us, even if this is a person who is actually muchzak, who is assumed to be a novi, in the past he was a good guy, even if he's trusted with you. However, when he tells you to come and worship idols, you know that he has left the building. The Ramban, quoting the Gemara in Sanhedrin, says, we talk here about a Navi Sheker. So why is he called a Navi then? If he's a Navi Sheker, if he's a false prophet, why is he called a Navi? So he says this is the way he's referred to by people, not that he really is a prophet. We have a little bit of a divergence of opinions of why this person is called a Navi in the Torah, whether it's in actuality or euphemistically. But at any rate, you have this fellow who says he's a prophet, is regarded as a prophet, maybe really once was a prophet, and he gives you a sign. V'nosin alecha oise meifes, Rashi says, we're on chapter 13, we're moving forward in verse 2. Rashi says to us, he gives us a sign. What does this mean, a sign? Because Hashem tells us that if a Navi comes along and claims to speak in the name of Hashem, we have every right to demand a sign. How do we know he's speaking in the name of Hashem? So he gives us a sign, Bashomayim, like from the heavens. Ke'inyesh never be Gidon, like it says about Gidon. Va'asi sali ois. So what happens is the Malach comes and speaks to Gidon, and Gidon's like, how do I know you're the real deal? Give me a sign. Va'omer, and he says, Yihino choyrev ala giza. So the story with Gidon goes that he says it's going to be dew everywhere, but this clump of wool is going to remain perfectly dry, which we all know is impossible, because wool is going to absorb liquid if it's sitting right there on the floor. And then he wakes up in the morning and the ground is entirely moist from dew and the wool is dry. So that's the kind of sign that we example. Oy meifis, what's the second? But oh, that's something that comes maybe from the earth. So that's it, whether it's from the heavens or from the earth, Rashi says, what the point is, he says, I'll give you a sign. The Psik de Zutta says, ois is lizman, ois is in a distant time, a little bit later, and a meifis is la'alter, immediately right away. What's the business of this dream? What kind of dream is this? So the Ibn Ezra says, the man comes to you and he says, I had a dream. go prove, I had a dream. Are you going to fight with him? The sign happens. He said it's going to happen and it happens. And he says to you, let us go after other strange gods, which you did not know, and this is where it rises and falls. It rises and falls on worshiping another god. We don't care who he is. He could be a prophet. He could walk on the water. He can give whoever he is one bread. Doesn't make a difference to us. Once you say worship a god other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he fellow has left the building. So how did this miracle come about? He shows you a miracle. Ashbam says, maybe through a keiches atuma, through powers of ritual impurity. I don't know. All kinds of things that could happen. And Eir HaChaim says, uva efes oisum efes, even if he didn't say this is the miracle that's going to happen. But miracles are happening. You see, he's got signs with him. He's got wonders with him. Amazing things are taking place. Irrelevant to us. It's irrelevant. The Ramban says a very interesting thing. He says that every person has some clairvoyance in them. Every person is born with clairvoyance. There is what we call a sixth sense. And Ramban says it's possible that sometimes a person could cleave to a different form of consciousness. And in cleaving to this form of consciousness, some people have what seems to be a koyach hanavui. They have this prophetic-like abilities. Maybe. That could be. But that does not mean he's a god. It does not mean we worship him. And we never listen to anybody once they come along and they tell us about worshiping another god. That's the line. That's where we draw the line. So if a person comes to you and he says, bang your head in the wall, all right, you want to bang your head in the wall, bang your head in the wall. But the moment he comes to you and he says, you have to worship another god, that's it. That's where our bond ends. That's where we're finished. That's where we separate ways. Acharei Hashem alekechem telechu. We have only one way. We only go after Hashem our God. Va'oisai tiro. It is Him we fear and revere. Ves mitzvays of tishmeru. It is His mitzvahs we follow. Uvekoyloi sishmo. And it is His voice we listen to. Va'oisai sa'avdu. And it is He we worship. Uvoi sidbakun. And it is to Him we cleave. So, Rashi says, what is the meaning of Acharei Hashem alekechem telechu? Okay. Follow God. Yes, follow the Torah. Oh, you see, that's what you should have reverence for. Fine. And then he says, V'es mitzvahs of tishmeru. So what's that? If going after God is not doing mitzvahs, so what is this mitzvahs of tishmeru? So Rashi says, mitzvahs of tishmeru, and then it says, B'koli tishmo. Do his mitzvahs, and hear his voice. Mitzvahs of tishmeru, says Rashi, this is Teiras Moshe. This is the keeping of the 630 mitzvahs were articulated in the five books of Moses. Of the Koil Sishmo, this refers to the Koil HaNeviim, the voices of the Neviim that came later. You already said going after God. You already said Him you're going to revere. You said you're going to do His mitzvahs, that means the mitzvah 630 mitzvahs. You said you were Koil Sishmo, you said you're already going to do what the Neviim say. So what's left? Rashi says that means B'migdashai, to serve Hashem in His Beis HaMikdash. Bakun, and to Him you're going to cleave? What does this mean? So we said we're going to reject the false prophet. We're not going to follow any other gods. We're only going to listen to the voice, to the follow ways of Hashem. We're only going to listen to the 613 mitzvahs. We're never going to violate them. We're going to listen to everything the Nevi'im that come after Moshe Rabbeinu tell us. No problem. And we worship in the Migdash. So what does it mean then to cleave to God? How else would you cleave to God if not through worshiping, if not through revering, if not through doing mitzvahs, if not listening to the voices? How else would you cleave to God? Rashi says, this means hidobek bidrachov. You should cleave to His ways. And what does that mean to cleave to His ways? Goimel chasodim. You should do kindness. Literally dispense kindness. Kver mesim. And he gives examples now. You should help bury the dead. Person needs help with burial. You should help the burial. Baker cholim. You should visit the sick. That we find kimoi sha'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just as God did. Where do we see that God did chesed? We see God does chesed when Adam and Chava discover that they're naked for the first time. What does God do? He clothes them. So that's chesed. That's taking care of somebody who is needy. And what do we see with regard to burial? It says that Hashem buried Moshe Rabbeinu. It's Moshe Rabbeinu, nobody else was there. And finally, when it comes to Bikur Cholim, where do we see that Hashem does visiting of the sick? Avraham Avinu, the third day, he comes to visit the sick. So here we got visiting the sick. With Moshe Rabbeinu, we have burying the dead. And with Adam and Chava, we have the idea of Gemilas Chasodim. So this is the meaning of Ubaisid Baku. This is the meaning of you should attach yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to Hashem alone. Now, by the way, when the Navi tells you go and worship another God, what does he mean? What does it mean? What's the sign? So Ramban says, when he speaks in the name of some spirit other than God, or he tells you, we should worship something. We should show an act of homage. Consider as a deity anything other than God. Whether it's a symbol, whether it's a mountain, a tree, a spirit, a constellation. If I worship anything other than God, then at that moment, it's something that has gone past the purview of the Jewish people. Le sishma el dvarai, don't listen to his words. The Sefer HaChinuch and the Rambam both say, do not get into arguments with him. Do not discuss it with him. Says there's nothing to talk about. Goodbye. Do not engage. There's to be a total disengagement here. Why is this all happening? Why would Hashem do something like this? That's a very good question. It's a very good question. Why would Hashem do this? So ultimately, the Torah tells us, this is Kiminasa Hashem Alekechem Eschem. Hashem is testing you. He wants to know if you love Him or not. And like Reb Sadia Gaon says, a test is to reveal the inner strength, the powers that you have that you didn't even know you had. But instead, we turn away from all of this. We don't listen to this prophet. And instead, we focus our attention only on Hashem, God, the Lord of Israel. As the Sifarno says, that we will not listen to the words of His Navi. We will only listen to the words of Hashem and the Nevi'im who follow Moshe Rabbeinu, who follow in the steps, in the framework, in the syntax of Moshe Rabbeinu. Or Rechaim says, Acher Hashem Teleichu, means this is Kabbalah Sel Malchus Shemayim. So it said the first thing is Kabbalah Sel. First thing is you accept God as your master. Once you accept God as the master, so then the other things come into place. First is the idea of Kabbalah Sel Malchus Shemayim, and after comes the concept of Kabbalah Sel Malchus Shemayim, then is the idea, is the rest of the Pasuk, that Hashem you should revere, and His mitzvahs you should keep, and so on and so forth. It's interesting that with regard to Rosh Hashanah, we don't emphasize the specific of doing mitzvahs. The first thing of Rosh Hashanah is the general concept of tshuva, the general idea of Kabbalah Sam Al HaShemayim. And then after we accept the sovereignty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, once we start off and we accept Hashem as King, then we can move into other areas and then we can, so to speak, perfect our game. We can go through the details of mitzvahs, and that's the Aseres Yemei Tshuva that follow afterwards, and the total cleansing that concludes in Yom Kippur. But it always has to start out with Kabbalah Sam Al HaShemayim. And this idea is articulated right out of the Pasuk. That's what Er HaChaim says. That's the first statement, Achar HaShem Elokeichem Teilechu. Okay, so we reject idolatry, we reject foreign prophets, we reject ideas which are outside the purview of Torah and Moshe Rabbeinu. We only follow the traditions we have been given, and we're supposed to cleave unto God. So let's talk about this cleaving unto God, Baisid Bakun. Let's talk about this being like Hashem. I invite you to open the Yurim book. Page Kufpei. Kufpei. That would be the equivalent of 180. And we're going to zero in now on Rashi. So Rashi talked about three things. He said, Goyim al-Chasadim, which we could interpret as Hashem providing for Adam and Chava, giving them clothes. Okay, but that's a general thing. Hashem is Goyim al-Chasadim. Hashem gives each and every one of us every single day. We wake up in the morning, that's Goyim al-Chasadim. The world is being sustained. Hashem is always giving to us. Someone is giving us free. It's not that we earned our eyes or our ears this morning. Here we are. We have it. Hashem is Goyim al-Chasadim. Okay. Now, Kvar Mesim, Baker Chaylim, that's already a little unique. We don't see Hashem burying the dead every day. And we don't see Hashem visiting the sick every day. So that's something Rashi goes into details. So the Rebbe asks, one second. Let me ask you a simple question. Ma Pesher Seder HaDvarim Divrei Rashi. Can you please explain to me the order that Rashi uses? In the order, what comes first? First you visit the sick, or first you bury the dead? First somebody gets sick, and you visit them. Yeah. And then eventually they die, and you bury them. Tchilas kvar mesecha. Rashi says, first bury the dead. Ula'achem became baker chaylim. Which is eine to'em. This does not reflect the seder hadvarim hativi. It does not take the normal order of things. Normal order of things, first you visit the sick, then you bury the dead. And Valeya Seder Hamur Rois, it doesn't even reflect the biblical stories and narratives. If we reflect the biblical narrative, God first buried the dead and then visited the sick. Okay, I'll say, well, so we're following the biblical system. But it doesn't work like that. When did he bury the dead? Moshe Rabbeinu. When did he visit the sick? Avraham Avinu. Seven generations earlier. The order doesn't fit anything. So why would you do that? As we know, Bikur Cholim was Eitz Lavram, and Kvuras Mesim is by Moshe, by Aaron. That's number one. Number two, a strange thing Rashi left out. Madua in Rashi Moshev Gam Nachim Avelim. Why doesn't he talk about bereavement, comforting those who lost a loved one, who are sitting Shiva? A Maisa Chesed, Sha'af Oisai Motzinu B'Maisa L'Kadosh Baruch Hu, an act of kindness that we find also in the narrative of what Hashem does for people. Kepirush Rashi ala pasuk, like Rashi himself says in the pasuk, Vayivarech Elokim es Yitzchak b'noi, Hashem blessed Yitzchak his son. And what was that? With what kind of blessing? Nichumei tanchumei avelim. I think, okay? So Hashem says, Hashem comes to Yitzchak and blesses him with tanchumei avelim. And Rashi omits that altogether. So really it seems, this is what Rashi should have said. It should have said, first of all, visit the sick. Visit the sick is Avraham Avinu. It should have said afterwards, Nachem Avelim, which is Yitzchak. And afterwards, it should have said the idea of bury the dead, which is Moshe Rabbeinu. And if you want to follow the normal order of things, so it should have said first visit the sick, then bury the dead, and then it should say Nachem Avelim. Instead, we have an order that's not an order, and we have an omission that seems to be clearing. Reasonable questions? Rashi always got it all together. Incidentally, in the source of all this, which is the Gemara in Saita, it does say Nicham Avelim. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nicham Avelim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu visits those who are bereaved, as it is written, by He Acharei Meis Avram, by Yavarech Elikim Es Yitzchak B'nai. And the Gemara concludes, Af Ata Nachem Avelim. You too should comfort those who are bereaved. So the Gemara, which is Rashi's source, actually talks about this. Why is that not part of Yidavik B'drachav? We're supposed to look at the narratives of what God did. And we're supposed to try to do those things. V'yesh leimer. So here is the Rebbe's suggestion to the seeming lack of order and glaring omission. Kavanas Rashi, the intention of Rashi with these words is lahadgish, to emphasize shemitzvah al ha'odom la'asoik b'maisei chesed. It is a mitzvah for a person to engage in acts of kindness al af hakshim hakruchim b'kach, despite the hardship that may be associated with this. So there may be hardship. It may not come easy, but that doesn't mean you don't do it. In other words, the parameters of doing, being God-like, being like Hashem, are not following the path of least resistance. That's a mistake. It's following the path of greater resistance often. It's doing the things that are downright difficult. What, is it difficult for God? That's not your issue. Not your issue if it's difficult for God or not. If it's difficult for you, that should not get in your way. You should do it despite the fact that it's difficult. And Rashi wants to emphasize that. It's being God-like is not a default thing. Oh, I'll be God-like, why not? Being God-like is a thing that requires effort and may take sacrifice. Ubehesem lekach, and in keeping with Rashi's message to you, that do not expect being God-like to be easy. Being like Hashem is a challenging thing. It's a difficult thing. It takes effort and toil and willingness to make a sacrifice. It doesn't happen by itself. So humoine, Rashi enumerates hamaisim, the various things which are being done, min hakal el hakoved, from the things which are less onerous to the more onerous. So the way the Rebbe learns Pshat Gemel Chasadim is not speaking about dressing Adam and Chava. It's a general statement. Gemel Chasadim, you should be kind, dispense kindness, be a giving person. Give of yourself. Not just be a giving person, but give of yourself. Big difference. A giving person is giving. When he has, he gives. Give of yourself means I'm always giving. Even when it means giving what's really mine. As the expression goes in the scripture, Nasan milachmoy ladal. He gave his own bread to the poor. Not that he gave extra bread to the poor. Or if I'll have, I'll give. I give what's mine. I give away what I actually have. In other words, I have time and I'm giving that time away. Why am I giving it away? Because that means to be a truly giving person. To give of what's yours. To give of yourself. And here, we have this idea of minakal al kovid. I once came to that person years ago. I asked him to contribute. And he was a doctor. He was doing very well. And he had a friend who was a big fundraiser. And he said to me, "Are you crazy?" He said to me like that. "Are you crazy?" I said, "No, why do you ask?" He says, "Go ask rich people for money. Don't ask me for money." I said, "Well, you're doing pretty well." He says, "Listen, I live, man. I live. I'm just enjoying life. I have to pay all my bills. I'm like, "My dear, you have it all wrong. Like, it's not about I live." I said, "You got a cottage and a boat and a vacation. That's nice, but like, that's what you need. That's Hashem asked you to give of yourself." Like, he looks like I'm crazy. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. He says, "Giving is for people who have over $100 million, he says. Giving is for people who have nothing to do with their money. They should give. I should give, he said. This is having it all wrong. Giving is you give of yourself. And even though it's not a Jewish frame, like give till it hurts, because the truth is not about giving till it hurts. It's about giving. It's about the recipient. But the point is, to be a giving person means to give of yourself. Yes, befeinish, nasa milach meiladol. You're not giving of, oh, if it comes to anything difficult to forget it, I'm not interested. If it's easy, if it's natural, sure, I'll give, why not? And Rashi wants to emphasize that. So he goes, minakal lakovid. First of all comes burial. Burial, by the way, does not mean just to attend a funeral and look sad. Burial means to roll your sleeves up and to bury the person. As you may know, Hashem gave us a mitzvah called kover sig berenu. You should surely bury him. It's one of the mitzvahs in the Torah. The mitzvah is actually given to us with regard to a person who committed a heinous crime and was executed by the courts because of his crime, by the Beis Din. Torah's emes says this person deserves to be killed. The Torah of mercy says that the only thing merciful for this person to save his neshama is that he should be executed for his heinous crime of murder, for example. And you have a responsibility now to bury him, to give him human dignity. Hashem didn't give the mitzvah to tractors. He didn't give the mitzvah to machines. You ever see a machine eat matzah? You ever see a tractor light Shabbos candles or put on tefillin? Why would a tractor bury somebody? A person bury somebody. That's difficult. It's difficult. Most of us are not construction workers. We don't know how to wield a shovel. It's not our everyday thing. It's a back-breaking thing. It's difficult. It's challenging. It's also a schlep to go to the cemetery. It's a schlep. It's far away. It's a big deal. So Rashi comes along and he says, kver meisim. Meisim sheyesh beit tircha rabba. Something that is very difficult. It's not like driving down the block and going to pay a shiva call, and these days you get to get a coffee and a piece of cake, and you get the chatter and shiva call. It's like a whole social scene, which, by the way, is not the way it should be. But besides that, it's not like, how difficult? Oh, I don't like going to shiva houses. Nobody likes going to shiva houses, but it's not the most difficult thing to go next door to your neighbor and step in. The Nebuch Bereav, to walk in and say, listen, I just want you to know you're not alone and I feel your pain. It's not the same as, you know, a funeral. It's a big deal. It displaces your time and it's an effort. So there's no danger attached to going to a funeral, really, but there's effort. And then, after he talks about burying the dead, he goes to the next thing, which la'acham became biker cholim, go visit the sick. Maisa yesh bay kedei ligrim nezek l'mavakir. A person could be contagious. A person, you might even get sick from visiting the sick. This could happen. It has happened to people. A person, I don't want to go to a hospital. Hospitals are full of diseases. I'm not going in there. He said, well, yeah, this guy is sick and nobody visits him. That's his problem. He's sick, it's his problem. Like, he gets better, I'll come visit him. So in other words, not only is it difficult, a big schlep to schlep all the way downtown until you find parking, until you go. It's a 6-hour excursion until you go visit somebody in the hospital. A person can say, it's downright dangerous. I have to be responsible to myself. I'm not interested in putting myself in the slightest amount of danger. So Rashi comes along and he says, not only kaver meisim, not only you should bury the dead, but baker chaylim. Even though there's a tiny chance, maybe you're going to get stuck with the same illness, you should go visit him. You should do what is kind. You should live generously. You should give of yourself. For this very reason, Rashi want to add in the idea of comforting the bereaved. Because nicham avelim is a ma'isa sheni karuch b'tirchum yuchedes. It's not a terribly difficult thing to go visit those who are sitting shiva. Nobody's sick. You don't know heavy lifting to do. Ein bekoch shash sakana. There's certainly no danger involved. V'im adam nidresh likver meisim. If Hashem expects of a person to be godlike by schlepping out to the cemetery, rolling his sleeves up and wielding that shovel, if Hashem expects you to go even to a hospital and even to risk your own life and even to be in danger, is it a question that he expects you to go to a shiva house? It goes without saying. Rashi doesn't have to speak about that. Kal v'chomer, how much more so? Kal v'chomer is translated as a fortiori, which means absolutely nothing to most people. But kal means light, and chomer means heavy. So if I can lift 500 pounds, is it, I have to say you can lift 200 pounds? Self-understood. If I can lift 500, what's 200? If a person is expected to go and schlep himself all the way to the cemetery and bury somebody, he's expected to even go to the hospital and put on and gown himself up because it's contagion and who knows what? How much more so? Of course he's expected to go and to pay a shiva call and visit the bereaved. Rashi thusly does not have to mention it. And so, now we know what it means to cleave unto God, to be like Hashem. It's not just enough to reject other gods. We have to wholeheartedly embrace our God. And embracing our God, being a proper yid, means to go above and beyond the call of duty and to live generously, to live in a manner of care and concern for others, to live in a manner of absolute and total dedication. That means to be godlike, and that's how a person could be like Hashem. I'm going to have 2 more minutes. I'm going to go over, share a goldie but an oldie. Famous story that a fellow came to the Baal Shem Tov and he said, I want to see Eliyahu HaNavi. And I fasted for 40 days. And I didn't talk to anybody for 60 days. I did all the things. I didn't see Eliyahu HaNavi. And the Baal Shem Tov said to him, Azoi, you didn't see Eliyahu HaNavi, he said. And he sent him to some distant village over there. Go there for Rosh Hashanah. Spend Rosh Hashanah in this distant village in this, with this family, and you will see Eliyahu HaNavi. And the Baal Shem Tov said, make sure you bring lots of food, though. Lots of challah, lots of fish, and lots of meat, and lots of honey. You load it up, and the guy loaded up his wagons, and he goes all the way to this distant village. And he keeps asking, where is this place? It's further and further. It's remote as remote could be. He comes to this house. It's ramshackle, broken windows. What's going on over here? Knocks on the door. It's a poor family, an orphaned children, a widowed woman. And he says, can I stay with you for Russia? I stay with Russia? Are you kidding? We have no food in this house. He says, I got food. No worries. I got food. And he moves in with all his food, and they have a wonderful yontif. And he waits and waits and waits. No Eliyahu HaNavi. He goes back to the Baal Shem Tov. He says, Rebbe, I was there. I did everything you said. I brought the food. I brought the fish. I brought the chant. I brought whatever. I was there. No Eliyahu HaNavi. Hashem says, No Eliyahu HaNavi. Load your wagon up. Even more food. And go back for Yom Kippur. And he's going back for Yom Kippur. He's so excited. Finally, Yom Kippur, holiest day of the year. You can see Eliyahu HaNavi. And he finally gets to this village, and it's already midday Erev Yom Kippur. And as he's approaching the door to knock and ask if he could stay for Yom Kippur, He hears a little child crying. He says, Mama, how are we going to fast Yom Kippur? We haven't eaten in 2 days. And the mother says, my kind, my child, don't worry. God sent Elio HaNavi on Rosh Hashanah. Surely he'll send Elio HaNavi on Yom Kippur as well. And so that, you want to see Elio HaNavi, that's how you see Elio HaNavi. You want to be godlike, care for another, share with another, do for another. When a Yid does that, that's how he is. He dabek, that's how he cleaves onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu.